WCITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Welcome to another edition of the Community Living Show on CITR 101.9 FM. That's our flagship station and, of course, the NCRA Radio Networks. For the first half hour of the show, I'm thinking, well, of course, Michael isn't in today. So due to the fact that his car broke down, so we wish him all the best and speedy recovery of his car. Anyways, we're going to do a start off with a show called The Business Expert Show. Michael Rubin talks with Christina Wachikol. Is on a mission to make the world a happier place, one mother at a time, because being happy is fulfilled rubs off to families. Christina knows you can have your cake and eat it too. In other words, you can raise your family and follow your dream, doing what you always wanted to do. Okay, so this is on YouTube, and of course you can always search word on YouTube on Business Expert Show. So here's Michael.
Good afternoon. We're here back on the Business Expertise Show, and we're here today with Christina Washko and with Motherpreneur. So a little bit about what Motherpreneur is all about.
Thank you so much, Michael, for showing interest and being here. Thank you so much. Here in Canada, I noticed everybody uses the term mompreneur, which is all good. I want to coin the phrase motherpreneur. To me, it sounds more mompreneur is to have small children. Mm-hmm. I'm a mother, I have bigger children. You know, my children are 17, 14, and 11. I'm a mom, but also I prefer the term motherpreneur. To me, it sounds a bit more... Yeah, they're a little bit older, the children.
Yeah. So you bring a good point with that. Where I grew up, mother meant more than just your own set. It was a position in the community.
Yes, I'm ruling my home. More my home than my community.
So mother does seem to be more fitting for that reason. It's more of a position in a community where you are a person to be, you're a lady to be looked up to in the community.
Yeah, and there's nothing to be ashamed of. Of course not. I'm proud. I'm a mother first. When you ask me, I'm a mother first, then I'm a wife, and then I'm a businesswoman. But I'm a mother first, and this is my pride and joy. But a motherpreneur is somebody, who is doing what she always wanted to do. Kissed her excuses goodbye and is living well because of it. To me, a motherpreneur, that's personally, is not somebody who wants to reach the top of her profession. To me, a motherpreneur is really somebody who lives well off yeah, doing what she loves doing because she follows her heart. Because if we do what we always wanted to do, maybe if you want to or not, we make money.
Right.
Because we're so excited and yeah, there people can feel we put our heart and soul into either the business, whatever it is you want to do. Yeah, or is it being a mother? It's fine too. Yeah. We run a household. We are motherpreneurs. Yeah. I mean most of us do.
It's very true. So motherpreneur, it's about teaching women what?
How to kiss your excuses goodbye. Some of us do what we always wanted to do. Some of us don't. Now I put us in three categories. With all due respect, one is the mother who always dreams about being a mother. Brilliant, fantastic. Then there's the mother who is the career, I don't want to use the word, but the career lady, regardless of children or no children, husband or no husband, I do what I have this vision, I climb up there and I do whatever it takes me to get there.
Right.
And then there's a third group, including me, Verai, who has lots of dreams and yeah, goals. But then we also want to be the mother. And we're holding ourselves back by our own excuses. And
mm-hmm.
my dream is not to reach, I don't want to be the Chancellor of Germany. I don't want to be the head of the CEO of a Fortune 500 company. I want to get the items off my bucket list, the things I always dreamed about since I'm a little girl. Oh, and this is, now I notice this is my seventh country, Canada. And my fourth continent to live on.
Oh.
And Michael, I have met not 100, I met thousands of women who, yeah, they say, oh, I always wanted to be a stewardess, or I don't know, or I always wanted to run my own business, or I always wanted to travel the world, but then, oh, my husband doesn't want to, or no, my children are too small, oh, I don't have the money. And I thought, oh, interesting.
Quite a number of excuses that you just rattle off there. And all of them seem to center around someone else and that has nothing to do with what they want. They're just giving away themselves in that.
Yeah, and being a mother is fantastic. That's the best job ever. As soon as we realize our children always need us, because this excuse goodbye, because they need us when they are this, when they're in our arms, they need us for survival and
right.
protection. When they are 6 feet, they need us as well, in a different kind of way. They want to know, or they want to get rid of their stories. They want to know, oh, mom, she's checking on me. They have to feel I'm safe. I want to know, do they take drugs? Do they smell like alcohol? You know, it's a different kind of
right.
worry you have, and they still need you in a different kind of way.
Yeah, I have teenagers.
Yeah, so
know
what you mean.
I know what you mean. It's like, yeah. being a son also is like my mother being almost 80.
She still worries about you.
Yeah.
Of course she does.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's who we are and what we do. Sorry, and coming back to the ladies I met. At one stage, we either regret not having done it, or we are too old, or we're getting that disease,
mm-hmm.
or we're getting that health problem. You know, I see so often our children are off going to university, starting a job, going traveling, and here we are. Great, so I have this wonderful job, but then, oh, is this really what I am? Who I am? What I always wanted to do? I'm 40, 45, my life is far from over yet. I still have that drive and energy, and then, ooh. But then, oh, that would change my whole life. If, you know, we have the opportunity and the possibilities. Nowadays, we can do whatever we want to do. And then we're having this little thing in our head, the little voices.
Yeah. So what do you think fuels that little voice? Where does all that come from?
Oh, for me, childhood memories, the way we are brought up.
Mm-hmm.
Television, media. So, for example, my parents, God bless, the best parents ever, very nice, very conservative, very protective, very caring. They did everything right.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The one thing they didn't do is they didn't teach me how to dream. My parents are hardworking. They didn't have time to listen to their daughter say, oh, one day I want to marry a prince. Yeah, little girl, go. Oh, I want to write a book. Yeah, hello, who are you? You know, writing a book is for somebody else. Oh, I want to travel the world. Yeah, it's too unsafe to travel the world. You know, you're a girl and lots of stuff can happen to you. I want to be famous. I want to be an actress. But you don't even have talent. What are you talking about? You know?
Right.
So everything I ever said to them, they just patted me on the back, a little condescending. Yeah, you're good. And so I told them what I wanted to do, but they always belittled me and they've always said, yeah, whatever.
Right.
So, for my parents, everything was safe. You have to be safe.
Right.
Marry the good old German boy from next door, have your 2.4 children, stay next door so we can see our grandchildren, have 2.4 children, and then just become a civil servant. That was a dream for me, to be a civil servant.
Oh.
Yeah, because it's security.
So it was the dream that was handed to you.
Yeah, yes, that was the extent, that dream for me. And going to university, none of us ever been to university, so why should you? You know, why should I?
Right.
So that's the extent of my drama at home, which I know is not fair because there are really drama in some households.
Yeah.
But
well,
I think,
you know, we all have our own
exactly.
drama, we all have our own story.
Yeah.
How did you get around all that? Because you own your own business now. You have a video cast on YouTube, which we'll get to that address, where to find you on YouTube, in a little bit. How did you get around all that?
So because my parents never taught me how to dream, what I did, I did what my father taught me to do. I became I did a job first. When I finished high school, my father taught me, lay the foundation of your life, have a job. Because if you want security, you have to have a job. Don't worry about university. So I became a real estate agent. So under German law, I'm an accredited, licensed real estate agent. I did 3 years of training, fun time, but it's not for me.
Oh.
I like selling houses. I like, that's a nice house, and blah, blah. I do not like sitting down. I do not like sitting on a desk and bureaucracy. So after 3 years, they asked me, do you want to stay? I said, no, I don't want to stay. And by then I was, I think, 21 or 22. I did lots of summer jobs. I earned a lot of money and I bought myself a flight ticket to go to Australia. I told my parents I'm staying for 1 year. Deep down, I knew I'm not coming back. But I didn't tell them my parents. I didn't say.
Right.
Because for me, in my head, I needed to put distance between their way of thinking and my way of thinking. I knew I didn't want to become a real estate agent, or I didn't want to be one.
Mm-hmm.
So I did it to please my father and to get him off my back. But I didn't know what I want. So I thought, let me go and widen my horizon. Let me meet other people. Let me go away from my parents. With all respect, but they poisoned my mind. I needed creativity. I didn't want to have a German boyfriend. I didn't want to have... I know I didn't want a German life. It's so restricted. We color inside. We don't color outside. And I don't know how that, I don't know where this, I have itchy feet, I don't know where the genes coming from. My parents are settlers, they stay in one spot. But anyway, so I went to Australia, long story short, and I never came back. I didn't come back, and this is 25 years ago, 26
what?
Years ago. The only reason I had to come back is because my passport ran out. And one station, you have to go back to your original country, I mean, at least at that time. But anyway, get this. So I took the step to leave. And then as soon as I left, all these doors opened up to me. Because I was so open to everything. I was mid-20s, young, fancy free. I met amazing people. They offered me opportunities. For example, I spent 6 months on the Fiji Islands. I was a nanny to an American couple. I spent 6 months in Florida. I worked in a boarding school. Due to all the connections I made in Australia, and then the best thing, I met who's now my husband in Australia.
So,
yeah. So, and then together we moved to England. And, oh, here's the thing. Sorry. When I was in Florida, I met my parents and we flew to the Bahamas. Okay. And I was 23 by then, or 24. And then for the first time ever in the Bahamas, I had a vision and I knew what I wanted to do one day. I saw a wonderful beachfront cafe in the Bahamas on Paradise Island. And can you, you see something? And it's like, oh God, that stirs something in your heart. And you just, yes, this is what I want. This is, oh, I'm excited. Yeah. This is what I had this vision one day. One day, yes, I'm great with people. I can make cocktails. I can make cappuccinos. I'm friendly. I'm cool. I can wear miniskirts. So I put this in my heart. One day I moved to the Caribbean and I own a beachfront cafe. And yes, unfortunately life doesn't turn out the way you want it to turn out. So I locked it in my heart and for 17 years I made excuses of why not to do it. Right. Then we had our children. I told you I have three children. And long story short, after 17 years, I had these voices in my head and they became so annoying, so loud and so nagging. They said, Christina, you are nearly 40. And by God forbid, 40 is a great age. I still am on a mission. I had my children. I wanted to have this dream. The problem was my husband refused to move to the Caribbean. I don't know why. He just refused to move there. And so I was forced with one of the biggest decisions. Do I forget my dream forever? Forever? And then really stop talking about it, Christina. Just be quiet. Stop. Or do I treat my dream? Because he made it clear, we're not moving, we're not going. Which is fair enough. Which is fair. So at that time, we lived in Holland. And Holland is a fabulous country. It's one of the smallest countries in Europe. One of the most expensive and one of the most crowded countries in the world. And the Dutch are funny. Nice, they're very, very opinionated. Whew. If they don't know, they're just so honest, they're brutally honest. So here I am, three children, my big fat scary dream. And I thought, oh, should I do it or not? I risk my life saving. I quit my job. I was a fitness instructor. I love teaching fitness classes. And then I fought my way through bureaucracy. I fought myself through the brutal, honest Dutch people that told me right from the beginning, Christina, a coffee lounge, the way you want to do it doesn't work here. We don't want children in our coffee shop. We don't want, you don't allow us to smoke. At that time, everybody was allowed to smoke. And so they gave me the thumb down right from the beginning. I said, oh, okay. Long story short, I became a massive success. Not me, my coffee shop, Strawberry Lounge, became a big success. And that's the other reason why I call myself a motherpreneur, because I actually started my business and I sold it. I sold it to move over here.
Okay.
So I am actually a business person. I'm not somebody who just talks about and is freelancing doing her little video shows. I actually operated my own business and I could sell it. So I'm a proud motherpreneur. And I have the experience, everything I learned from running my own business and successfully selling it, I figured, man, I want to share this with you. Because now I'm back to my next big scary dream. And I started my next project. It also took me a little while to get over that hurdle of, oh, you're not good enough, and who are you, and why do you think, are you crazy, you're too old, and... yeah, you will embarrass yourself, you've never done this before. Yeah. And I figured, hey, let me offer my wisdom to everybody else who wants to.
So you're actually applying it in helping other ladies move through the steps that they need to take too.
Yes. Yes.
We're going to come right back in just a moment here on the NCRA Radio Networks. You're tuning in to the There we go. We're going to come right back in a moment. This is the Community Living Show here on the NCRA Radio Networks and our flagship station, CITR 101.9 FM. We'll be back.
Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theater, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theater, visit their website at www.riotheater.ca.
To understand more about fashion, we asked CITR student executive and fashion expert Jonathan Q what fashion means to him.
Like, it's just aesthetically something that's so ostentatious. Typically. I mean, because of course, I mean, it's also, you know, I mean, when you say fashion, I think people are talking explicitly about consumerism as opposed to someone who buys, like, you know, let's say, you know, someone buys
If you really want to know more about fashion, come on down to CITR in the Student Union Building of UBC and pick up some of our merchandise à la mode. Nous avons t-shirts, sweatshirts, socks, and coffee mugs.
But it's also very aesthetically gripping.
To keep you styling in support of the station you love. Isn't that right, Jonathan?
Cool. Well, actually, is it? Because, I mean, you know, I was going to say because of the cultural vacuum that we exist within, but then, you know, really, fashion today is kind of derived from the European idea of couture.
And you've tuned into the Community Living Show here on the NCRA Radio Networks. And, of course, our flagship station, CITR 101.9 FM, and streaming online at CITR.ca. We're talking to Christina Washko, interview from the Business Expert Show from Michael Rubin. Of course, Michael Rubin isn't here right now, but he'll be back tomorrow on the other station on Co-op Radio from 2 until 2:30. Enjoy the interview.
So you're actually applying it in helping other ladies move through the steps that they need to take too.
Yes. Yeah. Awesome. And can I tell you the one thing which I think this is, you have to get out of your head, out of your mind, once and for all? You do not need experience. The most important thing you need is just do it. Done is better than perfect. Just do it.
So the drive is more important than experience.
Yes. Oh, experience to learn why you do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. So, how does this work? How do you guide women through their excuses and get them to set the excuses aside and move forward?
So because you don't know me, normally I would say I lead by example, but because you don't know me, you don't know what I'm doing on a day-to-day basis. So I actually wrote a book. I wrote a book, it's called The Strawberry. The Strawberry Lounge Book. Please edit this. So I wrote a book, it's called The Strawberry Lounge Book. This is my experience of why and how I started my coffee shop and how it became a kick-ass success. It really has nothing to do with clever marketing, with having the best products, with... It has something to do with it, totally different. It's the way how you sell yourself and how you treat other people.
Well, you're looking at a marketing guy, so you say it has nothing to do with marketing.
Yeah,
and
big
I'm going to say that you probably are a marketing genius because you were able to communicate what you wanted the lounge to be about to the community.
Yeah, but then...
And there's one of my favorite definitions of marketing, sorry.
Oh, yeah, nice. Oh, yeah, then, yeah, yeah. But then at that time, this is 6-7 years ago,
mm-hmm.
I didn't know anything about marketing. I didn't have Facebook. I didn't use Google. I didn't use any social media.
Yeah,
nothing.
I
ran a business. I have no clue about internet marketing. Nothing.
Right.
Nothing. And can I give you a secret?
What's the secret?
The secret is, if you don't know anything about internet marketing, don't even do it, because don't do it. You run a business.
It's
Don't do
that
it.
That is very wise advice.
Yeah. Do
you
what
you...
You
wind up spending a lot of money on things, tools and stuff like that that...
No. My experience is do what you're good at. I had a business to run. I have a family to raise. I don't have time for marketing. So from my experience... Let somebody else do it for you.
Mm-hmm.
The girls I employed, they did all that. Come to them. They did the social media for me. They tweeted, and here's the thing. If you are so good in what you do, people talk about you anyway. They talk about you. You find a connector. My connectors were mothers, and we can talk. If we love something, we talk about it. Holy smokes. We found
yes.
These mothers, they found heaven. I allowed them to breastfeed. They found their nirvana. They had great company. I had great music. I mean, I like ABBA. They like ABBA, so great music.
I'm an ABBA fan myself, so.
But then find the connector. If you have the connector and the early adopters, they spread the word for you.
Right.
They do it. You have something so kick-ass to offer. You don't need to do anything. They do it for you.
You found the right group of people to, as I like to call, sneeze
yes.
about you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But this is something I know now. But then I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And then also I became a big success with teenagers. And the teenagers, teenagers are brilliant. Teenagers and mothers, best connectors. They like something, they spread the word for you.
Yeah.
So find your early connectors and... They spreading the word for you, and definitely let somebody else do the social marketing for you.
Right.
Because you focus on, if you want to run a business, run your business.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't do it all, somebody else can do it so much better.
Right. You're absolutely right. There isn't just internet marketing. People talk about all the internet marketing that you can do. There are other ways of marketing your business just by going and networking within the community.
Yeah.
And finding that right group of people that you want in your shop.
Yeah.
Tell them, just simply inviting them.
Yeah. And then coming back to your question, so I wrote the book, but I started a YouTube channel. It's called Motherpreneur to Be, where I dish out tips and tricks and ideas from what I experienced, but also I interview ladies amazingly, ordinary, extraordinary mothers. And I call them ordinary with due respect because I don't have anybody who has a triple Harvard degree there.
Right.
I don't have anybody who is married to Donald Trump. You know, I mean, who
right.
is married. Yeah. So these are amazing women who really follow their heart and they do it their way. And they're sharing their expertise and their knowledge with us.
Is there a favorite favorite lady that you interviewed or?
First of all the ladies are brilliant. They're really
mm-hmm.
good because they all have their nuggets and their quirks of wisdom.
Sure, it's like I'm finding that on my own path with the channel that I'm doing with this particular show. It's like everybody
has their nuggets. Oh
yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And you have to pick the right ones for you because what
yeah.
I've been through, it's something totally different to you. But then if you want to start a business, business is business. You know,
yeah.
there are certain ground rules. So I liked, I have to be careful because they're all good. But then the one, Homeless on Hastings, is really inspiring because I interviewed a lady who in her free time makes sandwiches and then goes to East Hastings,
mm-hmm.
and feeds them. So I was allowed, one Sunday, I was allowed to film everybody, the volunteers, and I helped as well. And then we went to East Hastings, so very inspiring. Another one is Leaving Your Mark with Cheryl Bishop, who dished out really good business advice.
Yes.
Oh, I like that. Because it's very helpful, very down-to-earth, common-sense business advice. And yeah, I don't know, everybody, or I did the latest one is, we have to program our mind to be successful. So how do you do that? By, of course, we can visualize, but there's another way, is hypnosis. So
okay.
I interviewed a lady, she uses hypnotherapy to change my mind, to change people's mindset. Amazing stuff.
That sounds exciting.
Yeah, it's brilliant. So we all have our own, yeah, pearls of wisdom. And I'm so honored and thankful that the ladies, yeah, agreed to share their wisdom and knowledge with me. But I also have stories of, for example, one lady is divorced, all alone in the country, and she became a pilot. Yeah, hello, how do you become a pilot? Why do you become a pilot? You know, a little story like this. Or another lady, she works 24/7 with her husband, owning a coffee shop. So, and I wanted to know, how is it being together with your husband 24/7? Whew. And that is a funny one as well. A really funny. Very honest. So yeah, there are lots of, or another lady, she's a clutter coach. She showed us how to declutter our home. I mean, how cool.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, really.
Which, by the way, you have a very beautiful home.
Thank you very much. Yes. Thank you.
So.
Yeah, I cleaned this up for you. I cleaned this up.
So, you said you had to tweak your dream. So, what does that big dream look like now?
Oh, my big, fat, scary dream right now is you're looking at the future, really successful talk show hostess on TV. So I want to have my own entertainment show on TV. Mm-hmm. And I started on YouTube because I figured if I don't start now, I never do it. And also, I mean, what are my chances that HSBO will knock on my door? You know, they don't know who I am, and I can't, I mean, I could call them, but if you do something like this, you really have to be in love with yourself. Not in a narcissistic way, but when you put yourself on your video, you have to like the way you look, the way you sound, the way you come across, all your quirky gestures, and man, and that took me so long to actually get comfortable with the idea. But I want to have my own, I'm going to have my own TV show one day.
And I like how you change your words.
Yes,
there.
And I have this amazing concept in my head, which unfortunately I don't want to share with you because I don't want you to steal the idea.
Didn't we sign that non-disclosure agreement?
Oh yeah, listen. But it's an entertainment show, not just sitting down and chatting, which there's nothing wrong with it. We have too much of it. Mine is very interactive, very funny. Mind you, I'm not funny in the sense that I can't, you know, I'm not funny. I'm just not funny.
You know, you say you're not funny, but you're exciting to be around.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
So funny in the sense that I'm not funny as Ellen, you know, she's funny. And I'm not as soulful as Oprah. I'm Christina.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
You are
Christina. And so is everybody else. We all have something so unique and amazing about ourselves that, come on, just kiss your excuse goodbye and go for it.
Right.
You know, just go for it. It's such a shame. For one of our friends, he just passed away 2 days ago. He's 61, and it just, woo. Of course we're going to die one day. We all do.
Yes.
But then just, this can happen from one day to the next. And if you go with your music inside you, then that is so sad. That is really sad. So that's my main motivator. I'm not afraid to die. I'm just afraid that one day I'm too old to do what I always want to do, and my bucket list is this long. And
yeah, that's the one that hit me after I turned 40 by myself.
High five. Oldies but goldies.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, and so it's what I said, not so much getting older and wrinkles, and that's all good. It's one day I may don't have the health and the energy I have now.
Right.
And one day I hope not that I will lose the sparkle in my eye and my enthusiasm. You just never know what the future will bring. So therefore, just do it now. Our time is, oh God, makes me cry. Our time, it really is borrowed here.
Yes.
Always makes me cry.
Yeah.
Hmm. So that's the whole thing. Kiss your excuses goodbye and do what you always wanted to do. Yeah, and especially as mothers, we bring up the future, and if we don't...
Okay. That is quite the dream. Your dream seems to be more than just the TV show. It's the TV show that inspires people to grow within themselves.
Yeah, and it's... And it's not, don't get me wrong, it's not for the narcissistic, I want to be famous reason. No, I don't want to be famous for I don't want my face to be known. I want my name to be famous for something. When people read the name, say, oh, she writes funny, she knows so much. Oh yeah, that's so inspirational. She has the amazing women or men on the show, and oh yeah, I do remember she did this. She doesn't have any Botox. She has, I don't know. She is the way she is. I have varicose veins. I mean, stuff happens, you know. But hey, these babies can bring me. They bring me everywhere. So I want to be the role model for. Yeah, we get over that, but it's cool. It's brilliant.
Right.
That makes me cry too. I don't know why. I don't know why. But that's, yeah, so it's a mixture of being a role model and inspiration and the motivation to, yeah, who are you not to do what your heart desires? Seriously, honestly. And there's always a reason why not to do it. Why don't you just see it as, oh, there's always a reason why to do it. You know, our children, for example, are one reason to do it.
Right.
And if you don't have children, then it's we owe it to ourselves to do it. And if you can't decide, then what I always say, look ahead in time. So in 10 years, when you look back, would you regret not having done it? Mm-hmm. If you, but in 20 years' time, oh God, I kicked myself. I know I kicked myself if I... Yeah, looking back and say, what, you're holding yourself back because you're worried about what Joe or Jim are thinking about you during your first video episodes?
Right.
You know, how ridiculous. And that's another big one, this fear of embarrassing yourself. And I hate rejections. I don't like rejections at all. And this is one of my biggest thing I'm learning and have to deal with. Because I just don't like. I mean, who does?
So what do you think of this? Through the rejections is where we find our acceptance.
Of course I know. Of course. Okay. Of course. And I constantly put myself into a position where I have to get a yes or a no just to, you know, to deal with it. And at one stage I always say, my God, how much older do you have to become in order to know you're not for everybody? And this is fine. Your product or your idea or your... product here, yeah, your TV show, it's not for everybody. It's all good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, what's your nugget for today?
Ooh, my nugget for today is be yourself. Everybody else is already taken. Because if you know how amazing and cool and quirky and funny or not funny or energetic or not energetic you really are, man, you put on your shoes and go do it right now. You know, and another good one is there's always a reason why certain things happen in your life. Always a reason. But for me, the big one is be yourself. Everybody else is already taken.
Yeah.
Oscar Wilde. Yeah.
So, let's give that contact information. How do people find Motherpreneur TV?
Yeah. So every Wednesday morning... This is when I come out, but right now what you can do is you go to YouTube, type
mm-hmm.
in Christina Washko.
Okay.
And then there's my channel, Motherpreneur TV.
Yeah. Spell your name, please.
Christina, C-H, Washko, W-A-S-C-H-K-O. And then have a look at certain episodes. I would really appreciate if you could subscribe. Yeah, subscribe.
Yes.
And... you can drop me a line at christinawashko@gmail.com. If you have a really nice story to tell, and I know everybody has a great story to tell, please drop me a line, let's have a chat, and I will shine a light on you. Or you go to christinawashko.com. This is my website. I have a blog, funny stories, great tips, So christinavashko.com, Christina Vashko on YouTube, or christinavashko@gmail.com.
And that was Christina Vashko interviewing with Michael Rubin. We're going to go right back in a moment with Community Living Show. But do stay with us. Michael's going to be talking to Caroline Smalley from the Citizens Media. We'll be right back.
Want to know what's up at UBC? Read the UBC. It's only the largest student newspaper in Western Canada, and it's written and edited entirely by UBC students. The UBC is your source for on-campus news, culture, and sports. New editions come out every Monday and Thursday. For breaking news as well as amazing videos and blogs, check out ubc.ca.
Hi there, are you tired of listening to the same music day in and day out and want to try something a little different? Well then, how about listening to Asian music? Now, I don't mean it like
Oppan Gangnam Style.
Nor like
She bangs, she bangs. Oh baby, but she moves, she moves.
I'm talking about a little more like and a little more like and also a little more like and definitely something like so tune in to Asian Wave 101, playing you the best of Chinese and Korean pop, Wednesdays from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m.
Only on CITR 101.9 FM, of course, and online, CITR.ca. Of course, you're tuned in to the Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Networks. And, of course, our show, Flagship Station, and it's also on CITR 101.9 FM and streaming online at CITR.ca. Anyways, I'm Kelly Rayburn, along normally with our normal co-host, Michael Rubin. Of course, Michael Rubin is away today, so he'll be back on tomorrow for the other radio station, which, of course, is on Co-op Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM, your community radio station over there. Anyways, back to more on the talks when we don't have much long, so I'm going to start it now. Michael has been talking with the Business Expert Show. He's talking with Caroline Smalley. So here's the interview.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
So what is the Citizens Media, and why is the Citizens Media special to the world?
The Citizens Media is a global investment cooperative, the idea behind which is to move finance to a place where people have equal opportunity to increase their own livelihoods. What makes it special? There are four key elements that it incorporates. One is communication. We need to be communicating on a global scale. That means that we have to start bridging understanding between cultures that are different from our own. And that enables us to realize or to tap into potential we'd otherwise not know about.
Okay.
So that's one piece, and this is enabled through a distributive platform that connects open source technology throughout the world, so we can get conversations going on multiple platforms, all threaded into the same place, in a way that also means that people will be able to better utilize the tools that are available to us all. So communication is one piece.
Okay.
Another piece is mobile revenue tools. So only half the world's adults have a bank account, and you have merchant banking fees associated with banks as well. In order to facilitate commercial exchange for everybody throughout the world, we need to be able to facilitate exchange for a mobile banking system. So I can speak a little bit more to that later on, if you'd like to know more.
Yeah.
Another part is community. Now, this is really important because most money that is given to charities, if you like, goes to large-scale solutions. And these large-scale solutions often, more often than not, fail to address the people. And because they fail to address the people, they don't get a good understanding about the real needs out on the ground. Remember, the fourth got communication, mobile exchange, community, and collaborative investments. So if we are able to collectively invest in solutions, we can start increasing long-term change. This is a cooperative investment initiative, which means that collectively we all invest into a common goal. But that common goal will be achieved by through people competing with ideas. So it brings competition and collaboration together, because we're all unique for a reason. We all want to be able to tell people what we can, we all want something special to give to the world, and we all want that to be empowered, right?
Right.
But let's be open with this ideas and with sharing, and by this way we can, what can we manifest? You know, what can we make happen? What's possible? So yeah, that's pretty much what it is, and what makes it unique.
Wow, that's I love the idea. It's like everybody, you're right. Everybody is special, and everybody should be treated as special as an individual. So let's get into what inspired you to start this whole thing?
Well, when I sort of look back at my own experiences and knowing how much I wanted to be understood, I wanted to give to the world, and when I felt that people were perceiving that in the wrong way, I was like, why is this? Why does this happen? Why do people compete with each other? You know, why is it we want to get one above the other? Why can't we come together? And why do we feel threatened by another? And I started thinking about the economic system as we have it. Works in a way that means the more we have, the easier it is to get ahead.
Right.
So this is the belief system that society has been growing up on here, and I think this is a lot to go to. Why, when there's so many tools and out there and so many bright minds, we've got the power to change the world. So why is it that we've got 2.7 billion on less than $2 a day? You know, we've got 8 out of every 10 people living on less than $5,000 a year. Now, the population around sort of 60 years ago was 2.7 billion, and this is the speed of transition. The world's under a lot of pressure at the moment. We're at a tipping point. So I sort of thought, okay, well, we got to this stage by having spoon-fed marketing and so on, and then we had the internet, Facebook, two-way communication helps to hold businesses more accountable. That's helping with the shift.
Yeah.
But what else is it? I mean, banks and the stock market, like I said, I mentioned before, is that they mean that the more you have, the more you're given, the easier it is to get ahead. And with this being so, it makes reducing the wealth gap impossible. So population is going to continue to grow because we're going to have a populace in the world that, isn't getting the education, isn't getting the ability to increase their own livelihoods. And it's when we start to increase our own livelihoods that we are, we get drawn to creating and to other things. And it's not just that we get access to education. So birth rate starts to decrease. So we need to reduce the wealth gap. So what can we do? Well, there are lots of systems, like mobile banking being one that we've already spoken to. Alternative energy supplies, you know. There are lots of things out there that if we can act, if we can catalyze in some way to bring about a shift, going from the old ways of working to ways where the more we unite, the more we can collectively be, do, and create. What can we do? What can we create? You know, so that's what the Citizens Media is meant to do. It's meant to be a catalyst to these change-making initiatives that, quite frankly, we need to get on the bandwagon of as soon as possible.
Okay. So you've discussed a lot of different tools and everything. What is the plan, and how do we get those tools to work so that I would love to see a world where everybody has a slice of something.
Yeah, you know? And if we can create something that is as authentic, as transparent, as for the people as can be,
right?
You know, it will take off, and nothing will be able to beat it. It's the people who take part will become its ambassadors. And ultimately, the vision is that we'll be able to create a self-organizing system. So how do we do this? Well, okay. We invite people to become part of a co-op. They invest anything from as little as $10. You get given a certain amount of shares for this amount. You get one voting share, no matter how much you put in, and you get a share of the profit based on the amount of money that you put in. So most of the money that goes into the pot goes to community-based projects where we work with organizations who are already active out on the ground, like, for example, in International Development Enterprises, a group that have helped 20 million out of poverty already. They've got groups all over the world. We work with these people. They're engaging the locals, so they can help us. That's how we communicate with people out on the ground. We can get an understanding of the communication tools they need and how we can hook them up into this global network that I mentioned so that we can facilitate two-way communication. The other thing that we do is we invite people, we find out what their design needs are. You know, is it a farmer who needs an irrigation tool to help diversify the crops he can grow and get more sort of market crops that will deliver a greater return? Lighting source or whatever it might be, what do they actually need? And then if we can, we put those design challenges out there and we invite entrepreneurs throughout the world to pitch proposals. You know, say it could be a pretty traditional investment proposal that says, hey, you give me this amount of money, here are the numbers, here's when the return that I'm going to give you, and so on. And, or it could be more of an open sort of solution where you have a group of designers saying, hey, we'd like to take this on, and we'll give you the whole product. You know, if you fund our whole thing, we'll give you the whole thing, and then you can use the distributed network that you're creating here to help distribute what you've got. So anyway, the point is by getting people to pitch proposals, that's the competition.
Right.
And you get members of the co-op and an advisory group, experts, people who can help get the ball rolling with, who have a real understanding of the issues here that will affect the efficacy of the design solutions. Anyway, you get members of the co-op to ask questions and comment on the solutions being proposed. And that, the idea is that'll increase the awareness of what's out there and what the real issues are that people are facing, you know?
Right.
That will do two things. It'll excite people to see what opportunity there is. I mean, bearing in mind that, you know, something I should mention is that most of the world's economy today, as we know it, came about by designing for the wealthiest 10% of the world. You know, think about two-thirds of the world aren't online. So most people haven't been able to say, hey, here's what I need. So we've been serving the wealthy.
Right.
You know, this means that there's this 90% marketplace still waiting for tools that can help them get ahead. And what's even more exciting is when you start designing tools that are for people who don't have much, you know, they have to be radically affordable. to be radically affordable, you know, they're probably going to have to employ local people on the ground, you know, use right. local people to help distribute and so on, and use local resources too. What's the impact? More sustainable and so on, right?
Yeah.
So then, you know, the co-op, they've made this, the questions, comments, and so on. And then they're asked to vote. You know, vote on which design solution you want the co-op to invest in. Okay. So they make their decision collectively. And then the money that comes out as a profit from the investment gets distributed to members of the co-op in direct reflection to the amount that they put in. So that's where most of the money goes to, communications and these design challenges. There is a right. portion that goes to contributors of content. You know, as I have said, you know, not two-thirds of the world aren't actually online. There's mobile. It's increasing quickly here. But you've also got literacy skills and language barriers. So there are language translation tools out there, but they only go so far. We need to actually be able to give people a return for being a language translator, for helping to give a voice to people who otherwise wouldn't be able to connect. It's all about, again, that equal opportunity piece. And by giving locals out on the ground this ability to earn a return, they can then become investors. So think about the stock market right now. You know, if you don't have, by the time you make anything, you know, you want to invest, it costs you a lot more to invest, right?
Right.
So this means that everyone can ultimately participate. You imagine you've got a local journalist, they help a local farmer, get online, they're selling grain and so on. They can then use the money they make as a journalist to go and purchase that grain from that farmer. That farmer gets some of this currency. You know? And it's, this return comes in a mobile currency that I mentioned when you asked me what was special about CF.
Okay.
It comes in a community currency called Comcoins or Community Coins. And then what we're doing is we'll be connecting with other currencies through a revenue exchange system for mobile revenue exchange. And we will facilitate, we will enable you to exchange your Pong Coins with other community-based currencies, of which there are many throughout the world. Many are based on sitting on Bitcoin. There's a large marketplace through Bitcoin.
Right.
But that's not the only one out there. You know,
it's just the best.
So we're just going to leave it as that. That was Caroline Smalley interviewing from Michael Rubin, of course, talking about the moving financial to a people-centric economy. Caroline Smalley is the Citizens Media on the Business Expert Show. Of course, we are on the Community Living Show here on CITR 101.9 FM. That's our flagship station, but you can also hear us. Hopefully, you can hear us on the NCRA radio networks. We're part of, you know, CITR is part of the NCRA radio networks. And, of course, do join us on tomorrow's edition on Co-op Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM. They're also part of the NCRA radio networks. All of the NCRA radio networks are the National Campus and Radio Communication Association. Anyways, we will be back tomorrow, so check us out on the other station from 2 to 2:30. Right now, we're going to leave you with AIDS Wolf here on CITR 101.9 FM. Do stay tuned for upcoming shows that are on right now after that. So have yourselves a great day, and we'll see you all again soon. Bye-bye.